this morning, you all. And they had no idea at all of what I was going to be ministering on today. So that confirms to me that what the Lord spoke to me is exactly what he wants us to minister on today. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me two places? First of all, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And the main portion of our text this morning is going to come from Galatians chapter 3, if you'll turn there also with me. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And verse 14 is a very, very beautiful scripture. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of redeemed from the curse. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, it's been a delight to praise you and worship you as these anointed songs of Zion have been sung today. Lord, I'm asking you today in these next few minutes we'll spend together for your Holy Spirit to come and to help me remind us and show forth in a fresh way. Lord, it never grows old, the redemption that we possess in Jesus Christ. Lord, we can never fully understand the glory of what you've done for us in these human mortal coils. But Lord, give us a touch of your glory today. Give us a newness of your joy today. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you choose to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. You know, this week has been a very, very difficult week for the local area in the tragic shooting of Officer Hopper. And it's been a tragic week for the nation in that yesterday, once again, we were rocked by hearing the news of a congressman in Arizona and I believe it's six other people that were ruthlessly shot and killed at almost point-blank range. And the congressman, as I understand the news reports this morning, she's hanging on to life, and she's in very critical condition. When you look at events that tragic, it brings home the fact that this planet and every man, woman, boy, and girl born into this planet is under a curse. Those are the evidences, the tragic evidences of it we've seen locally and we've seen nationally now this week. And sadly, as we're living in the last days, the condition of the world is not going to get much better. I believe as we wind closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin is going to become more rampant and the evidences of the curse that mankind and this planet is under are going to be even more pronounced. And that's a scary thought if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to submit this from the inception of this message. We are so blessed to have the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's the understatement of understatements. But we will never fully grasp the magnitude of this tremendous blessing until we fully understand what we were redeemed from by the Lord Jesus Christ. This beautiful passage in Galatians tells us that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If you go back in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 27, and incidentally, the book of Deuteronomy literally means second law. It was a reiteration, the entire book, of the law that was given to Moses in the book of Exodus. And in chapter 27, God gives a specific instruction to the people of Israel. He divides the 12 tribes in half. And he says that six are to go to Mount Gerizim. Mount Gerizim, the word Gerizim means the rock. Mount Gerizim was known as the place of blessing. Because the word rock, Jesus being the rock of our salvation. The other half of Israel was to go to Mount Ebal. Ebal means barren, lifeless. And from Mount Ebal, they were instructed to write the law given to Moses originally, the Ten Commandments, on stones. And then God gave a somewhat unusual command on the surface. He said, after you write the law on these stones, I want you to put white plaster over them and cover them up. And he said, from the Mount Ebal, the Levite priest are to pronounce the curses that are upon mankind due to the broken law. Now think of that. 12 times the Levites, and they're listed. I'm not going to take the time to go through them this morning. They're listed in the latter part of chapter 27 of Deuteronomy. Why would God have them do such a thing? 12 times they would have to recite the curse they were under of the broken law. 12 is God's number for government. And it was establishing the fact that cursed is everyone who attempts to live under the law. Why would that be? There's nothing wrong with God's law, the Ten Commandments, for in those Ten Commandments, God was revealing His holiness and His perfection and His glory to mankind, to show mankind how short he does fall of God's glory. And 12 times they would have to pronounce how cursed they were. And then why would God have them put white plaster over these stones that had the law on them? Praise God. For all who attempt to live under the law, you're going to live under a curse. That's what God first wanted Israel to know. And by reciting those curses, he wanted to indelibly inscribe it upon the hearts and spirits of the Israelites, just how cursed they were, and that they could never keep the law. God wants mankind to understand that the law, although it is perfect, it is holy and reveals the perfect righteousness of God. Mankind cannot live under that law because mankind can never keep God's law through his own efforts. The Bible says in John 8:56 that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. The words of Jesus Christ. Somehow, when God appeared to Abraham, he let him know and revealed to him, Abraham, what you do now, you do by faith, by offering up the animal sacrifices that I'm stipulating you offer. But he gave Abraham a revelation because Abraham believed him, the Bible says. Abraham believed God, and God gave him a revelation that there was going to be a coming Redeemer that would take the place of the animal sacrifices, a Messiah. And he alone would take the sin of the world away and take away the mankind from being under this horrific curse that was placed on mankind by the law. And whenever God told Israel to put the white plaster over the stones of law, it's a beautiful picture of all who, like Abraham, place their faith and trust in the Redeemer, Jesus Christ. And that what Isaiah said it best, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them white as snow. He was teaching Israel and wanted them to know they were under the curse, but he also wanted them to know that by placing their faith in the sacrificial system, which spoke of the coming Redeemer, that though that curse of the law that they could not keep was upon them, God was going to make a way for that law to be covered and for them to be pure and holy in his sight through the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He wanted them to understand how cursed they were. And now we come to this beautiful passage in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, some of the most beautiful in the entirety of Scripture. First, it says, Christ. Christ, the Anointed One. There's never been another like Jesus Christ, nor will there ever be. He was the Son of God. I could not help but thinking as I was preparing this message. The news report was on, and it was something about Islam and how Islam was being attacked. And there are forces even this morning that are trying to attribute that horrible shooting of the congresswoman to the Christians. They're coming out and saying it's because of Christians taking a stand against homosexuality and the sins of this land that it's inciting hate in people. Now think of that. With Islam and all of its evil literally destroying this nation as we sit here this morning, yet nobody attacks Islam. They make excuses for the Muslims, for their horrific acts of terror. Why is that? It's because everything else is a lie. Islam is a lie. Islam is of the devil. Hence, those that are children of the devil are going to try to support that which is of him. Never do you see, except for those who believe in Jesus Christ, Christianity being taken up for in any capacity in this nation. It's hated. It's despised. Why? Because it's truth. Because it's truth. And that truth says that mankind is under a curse which he cannot extricate himself from. The curse of the broken law of Almighty God. But God, in his love and grace and mercy in sending Jesus Christ, made a way for us to come out from under that curse and to be clean and holy and righteous and have fellowship with him once again. Christ, Christ alone, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That word redeemed, in the Greek text, it's exardego, and it literally means to pay a ransom for someone. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went there paying the horrible physical price for the broken law, for the curse we were under. But you know what so amazes me when I think about what he did for me on the cross? Let me put it in terms like this for just a moment. Many of us would be willing for someone we loved, if we knew it was going to help them, to pay a price, to pay a ransom to get them back. How many of us would go and pay a high price that would cost us everything for our enemies? Or for those who we were not absolutely certain they would even receive the benefits of the ransom we were going to pay for them? Jesus Christ went to that cross with the full knowledge that most were not going to accept the price he was going to pay there. What love! What manner of love! There's no other love like that you can find in any other religion or any other form of worship to God. Only in Jesus Christ. And that he willingly went to the cross to redeem us from this curse, knowing full well that not everyone was going to receive that redemption, knowing full well that most were going to scorn and mock it and turn away from it. But yet he went anyway. What a God we serve. What a Jesus we have. Christ hath redeemed us. In other words, bought us back. You see, this curse of the law required the shedding of blood, spotless, perfect blood. Christ alone could do it. Only Jesus could do it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, I want to stop right here for just a moment. In Deuteronomy, it also says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. There have been some very foolish teachers over the past few years who have said Jesus literally became a curse on that cross. And that is utter blasphemy. It's utter blasphemy to say such. Jesus was never a curse in any capacity. The idea of what Scripture is telling us here is that he paid the penalty for the curse that all of us were under. Every one of us were under this curse of the law. And the broken law required a penalty be paid. And Christ willingly paid that penalty. He paid the price for our redemption. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, the Bible says. Look with me again in Galatians 3:13. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. In other words, what Scripture's literally telling us there is that he paid the price for that curse. He never became a curse himself. The curse of the broken law demanded that a price be paid for it. And verse 14 tells us the reason why he paid this price, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon you and I. What was the blessing of Abraham? Being justified by faith. Having the broken law whitewashed over us. Just like the plaster they put on the stones on Mount Ebal, where that law was covered. And all that was seen was white and pureness. Whenever an individual places their faith exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, I don't care how great a sinner they are. I don't care how deep sin's tentacles have their arms wrapped around that person's soul. Immediately, God pronounces that repentant sinner clean of all sin, adopts him as his very own, and redeems him from that curse and counts him as never having even been under the curse. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. That's something to think about the next time you're down. The next time when this world is crushing in on you and you feel like, I can't go on. I pray that your mind will turn to Galatians 3:13 and you will be able to recite it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. I now stand holy and righteous before God based on what he done. God doesn't count me as a lawbreaker now. He counts me as a lawkeeper on the basis of my faith alone. He knows I couldn't perform the law. That's why he made a way. Hallelujah. He made a way. Glory to God. He came after us. My God, he loves us. Oh, how he loves you and me. Like the old song says. And it's really true. God loves us. Hallelujah. And he's proved it by redeeming us from the curse. God could have showed his love to us in a myriad of ways. But he showed it to us in the greatest of all ways. There's two areas I want to get into. One of them this is probably going to have to be a two-part sermon. First, the fellowship of redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Symbolized by that plaster being placed over the law on Mount Ebal. But I want to say this before I go into this portion of the message. You'll never understand how blessed you are in Jesus Christ until you understand how cursed you were before you came to know him. You can't understand the blessing if you can't understand the curse. That's why God was having Israel 12 times say how cursed they were from Mount Ebal. Because when you consider how none of us could even come close to keeping even the Ten Commandments, let alone the rest of the Levitical law that was given. We can't even keep those Ten Commandments. Not even for a day. Now, I'm sorry to burst bubbles. But for one day, we can't even keep those ten little commandments. Because somehow, unfortunately, because of the fall, we're going to think something wrong, whether we say it or do it or not. We're real good at keeping things hid as human beings. Man, God sees what's in the heart, what's in the mind, the spirit.
And I guarantee there's not a one of us. I'm trying to show how cursed we are. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody, but I'm trying to show you how bad off we are and how much we need him. We rarely go through a day without thinking some kind of thought that we ought not to think. Any of us. That's a sin to even think. Okay, I'm preaching to a real holy bunch this morning. I can tell. Well, just let me use me for an example then, okay? I'm that way. Will y'all pray for me? Because I need Jesus. I need to know every day that I've been redeemed from that curse. And that if I look at some of the things I think and some of the attitudes I have, and I'm going to think, my Lord, why would he want anything to do with me? He does, though. That's what's so amazing about his love. He does. He wants to have fellowship with you and I. And we have the fellowship of his redemption. And that should bring us great joy every day of our life if we understand how cursed we were and how far away from him we are without Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The blood of Jesus, that precious blood of Christ, covers all of that sin. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's whitewashed over, not with a plaster, but with the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we have the fellowship of his redemption. There's two areas I want to cover in this message. The fellowship of redemption and the fellowship of his sufferings. We're going to have to get to the latter part next week. But we have the fellowship of the redemption that he provided. And that through what he did on that cross, paying the penalty of the curse for us, which demanded death, which demanded blood be shed. He paid it willingly and freely because he loved us. My Lord, the Lord's working with me. And as my sanctification personally process has played out, the Lord is starting to teach me what it means to really, really live in the message of the cross in a way I've never known before. And it's a work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to say I'm all spiritual and everything. He's just, as a sovereign move of his Holy Spirit in my heart and life, he's starting to show me what's really important in this life. And I'm finding out for so many years, things that I've thought have been so very, very important aren't very important at all. Things that trouble me, things that would cause my mind to worry. Thank God the Lord is starting to take me to a place to where when the troubles and the tribulations of this life start closing in, he's teaching me to go to the cross. And I think Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I cannot lose my salvation. I cannot lose my standing with God. And I'm not preaching once saved, always saved. Of course, as long as my faith is maintained in Christ and what he did for me at the cross, that's should be understood. I can't lose my salvation. I can't lose my standing with God. I can't lose my holiness, my righteousness, and the love of God. And if you can't lose that, hey, what is there to worry about really? What is there to worry about really? Those bills that you think ain't going to get paid, go to the cross. Leave it in his hands. He'll help you. He'll help you. He's concerned about you. He loves you. He loved us enough to redeem us from this curse of the law by paying the penalty of that curse in our place on Calvary. So because he did that for us, when we exhibit faith in him, we experience the fellowship of the redemption that he provided for us. In other words, our sins are covered. And we are, at once again, you may not ever feel this way, but this thing works on faith, not how you feel as a human. There's where so many people miss out on joy with the Lord. They place their joy and make it contingent upon how they feel. Human feelings and faith in the finished work of the cross are diametric opposites of one another. They are. I'm going to tell you, I don't always feel in my human flesh like I'm a very clean, holy vessel. Boy, man, y'all are a holy bunch. Wow. Either I'm not saying it right or you all are so far above me. I don't know what. Probably both. But I don't always feel clean and holy. I look and I see things that I find that are very, very ugly in Greg Browning. And if you go on your feelings, you'll never know the joy of the Lord if you go on your human feelings. It's what this says. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And because of that, we have the fellowship of his redemption in knowing that our joy and our standing with God, our righteousness, our holiness is not predicated upon our performance. Just like the law on Mount Ebal that was whitewashed with plaster, our sins and our soul and spirit have been whitewashed with something far greater than a little bit of plaster. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it can't be taken away from us. That's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Man, don't that make you feel good? When you look at that, you can't help but feel good. When you look at that, you want to shout. No matter what else is going on. Because we know this word has never failed. Not one jot, not one tittle of it. It's all true. And if it tells me that my faith in Jesus Christ has given me the fellowship of his sufferings, according to Romans chapter 6, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been buried with Christ. But I have also been resurrected with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul said it best in Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I might know him and the fellowship and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Because if we're made conformable unto his death by faith alone, not our feelings, if we're made conformable to his death, by faith alone, we're made conformable to his resurrection also. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. As we start to close now, I want you to think about that the next time you get down on yourself. You know, sometimes Satan attacks us. He really does. He comes in like a flood. And you can literally feel it, the blackness of an attack of Satan, the horror of it when it's him. But I want to tell you, sometimes it's just our human feelings. It's just our human feelings. It's not even Satan. It's just for a moment, with our faith being imperfect and us not living in a glorified body, we'll let those feelings creep in. Man, I did this. I don't feel very holy. Or I thought this and that was wrong. I must not have very much of Jesus. Oh, how wrong we are when we think that way. I'm not advocating we live there, but I'm saying when that kind of thinking comes upon you, you must go to the cross. You must go to Galatians 3:13 and know that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, that you're covered by his precious blood, and that nobody can pronounce a curse on you any longer, as long as your faith remains in what he did for you at the cross. How could anybody ever get tired of hearing about the cross? I thought as I was preparing this message, I could preach it every Sunday this way and it would be new, at least to me, every Sunday, and I believe to most of you all. But how quick we are, we'll forget we have the fellowship of his redemption. And we'll allow either an attack for Satan or our own human feelings to make us feel like we're not very much, or that we're a total failure before God. Whenever the Satan comes at you, or you begin of your own human emotions to feel like you don't belong to him, or feel you're not good enough, or feel that maybe something you've done in the past and repented over has disqualified you in some form or fashion, his blood covers it all. His blood covers it all. It's so powerful. It washes away not some sin, all sin. I repeat them to myself quite often, the words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus walking over that Judean countryside, because there was coming the one who would pay the penalty for the curse to buy us back. He paid such a high price for you and I. We don't understand how much he loves us and how valuable we are to him. And you know what? I wish I could expound to you why he feels that way about us. But I can't, because I don't know. All I can know is that his word is true, and that I feel his love coursing through the sanctuary this morning. And John the Baptist said it, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." With your faith and what he did for you at the cross, your sin is being continually removed, 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 taken away as if it doesn't even exist. You see, that's how cursed we are. It took that high of a price. Because left to our own devices, we wouldn't even get through a day. We wouldn't even make it through one single day without placing ourselves back under that curse. That's how cursed we were. But how blessed we are in him, and that we have the fellowship of his redemption. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand? Praise the Lord. I strongly feel, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the Holy Spirit pressing me to just remind everyone, don't live your Christian life by what you feel. For the Christian life to be the joyous experience that God designed it to be, it must be lived exclusively by faith. And that faith, that goes without saying, must have a correct object. And the only correct object there is the finished work of Christ on the cross, which paid in full the curse and takes away my sin and your sin. We live in a cursed world, and as we said at the onset of the message, it's going to get worse and worse before Jesus comes. However long he tarries, this whole world and the curse that it's under is going to become worse and worse. But we are not under that curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Live your Christian experience by faith. Not by what you feel, by what the Word of God says, which can never fail. Then you'll live a joyous, overcoming Christian life. You can go to heaven and be miserable in this world, basing your faith and your standing with God on how you feel. If you do that, you'll never have any real Christian joy. You know why? Because you don't understand the curse you were under and how great a price was paid for you to come out from under that curse. When you have that knowledge in your head, it's hard to stay down very long at all. And it's not on how you feel, it's on what the Word of God says. Oh, sometimes when we're in church, like this morning, and when we're in our prayer closet, or if we're reading our Bible and the Word blesses us, we'll feel it. We'll feel the joy of that redemption. But there are those other times when we go on our feelings. And that's when we get down. That's when we get depressed. I firmly believe that most depression, if not all, could be cured if people understood the message of the cross and how much God loves them and what a price was paid for them not to have to live under this curse of the broken law of sin. We're going to go on to part two of this message next week, the fellowship of his sufferings. And don't get scared, it's a glorious thing. I'm not going to preach something we have to go to Zimbabwe and cut ourselves and cry out and throw dust in the air. No, that's not the idea of that scripture at all. But today, as I look out over the crowd, I believe everyone here knows the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, you know what to do by now. And he'll call you, and if you'll call on him, he'll save you. And I know at least everybody in here knows how to do that. But I feel the Holy Spirit today, just where you're standing in the pew there, make an altar. And let the Holy Spirit renew your mind today and begin to train all of our minds. This is all of us need him to do this. where, Lord, we'll not live by how we feel. No, we'll not predicate our standing with you based on how hard the enemy is attacking us or what we feel like. Do a work in us today. Do a work in me today, Holy Spirit, that trains my mind to always know Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And I was under a horrible curse, and I wouldn't have a prayer of living a day without him. But with you, Lord Jesus, my sin is covered. My sin is taken away. I'm completely redeemed from the curse of the broken law based on my faith alone. Let me pray for you now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I thank you for these few moments we've spent together, Lord. I've so felt your Holy Spirit ministering to all of us from the Word. And Lord, that is it. The Word and the Holy Spirit are the ministers, not us as human beings. And Lord, I just in my spirit, I feel refreshed and revived. But Lord, I'm asking you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, renew our minds today. Renew our minds today, Lord Jesus, that we would not base our walk with you on our feelings or on the attacks of the enemy, but that we will always and forever know and return to Galatians 3:13 whenever we start to live based on how we feel or how hard the enemies attack us, that we will know Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and that can never be taken away from us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. And that blessing is knowing that everything is right between us and you and cannot be taken away from us. We are now, through the shed blood of Christ, the object of your love, your affections, your grace, and your mercy, and we are your children. Renew our minds that way today, I pray, Holy Spirit. That's the song Michelle's playing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. How we've proved you over and over. Praise God. Oh, for grace today to learn to trust you more, Lord Jesus. As we close, Lord, the last thought I believe the Holy Spirit would have us to address. Remind us of how cursed we would be without you. But remind us how blessed we are by having our faith in you and what that entails. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, in the coming days, when this world is going to grow worse and worse, and this curse that this old world is under is more pronounced, let us even more dedicatedly look to the cross of Christ and know our redemption is drawing nigh. Praise God forevermore. Amen. And amen. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise him, church. Let the joy of the Lord fall on you today. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.